Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome. I admit, every once in a while, there is a bill that moves through the legislature which is so staggeringly bad, such a large deposit in the bank of bad ideas, that I am literally speechless when it continues to move through the legislature, waiting for somebody to come up and say, hey, we got to stop this. This is crazy. I don't care if this is the darling of the special interests. It's not good for our constituents. It's not good for the state. The ethanol mandate is one of those pieces of legislation. If you live in southeastern Wisconsin, because of the EPA, you know we have to use gas that has an ethanol mix. In the balance of the state, it's generally up to individual retailers if they want to sell ethanol mix or not. There is a bill moving through the state legislature. It was passed in the assembly. It has the support of the governor, and what it says essentially is that roughly, if Assembly Bill 15 is passed into law by the Senate, roughly 10% of, you know, ethanol blend in regular gasoline will have to be sold all throughout the state. There was a committee vote regarding this today. It passed the committee by a vote of 4-2. One of the three Republicans on the committee is State Senator Neil Kedzie from Elkhorn. And Senator Kedzie, you were the one Republican that voted against this morning.
I certainly was, and I'm ready to do it again.
Well, first of all, why did you vote against this bill?
Well, there are two major factors here, Jeff. One being the fact that this is a mandate which goes counter to free market economy, market forces, and goes against Republican principles. I mean, it has to be remembered that the GOP convention last year, a resolution was passed against an ethanol mandate. And secondly,
I'm just going to stop you there for just. I mean, so in other words, there's nothing right now that stops a gasoline station, for example, in Mauston, if they want to offer the customers gasoline that has a blend up to 10% ethanol, there's nothing that stops them from doing that. They have that option to give customers the choice.
Absolutely correct. I mean, they have the choice, just as a consumer should have the choice, to go to one gas station or the other. I go out of my way to get ethanol-free gasoline on the expressway. I pay sometimes one penny more, but in most cases, I'm paying the identical price. And the second problem, obviously, is the issue of the environment and high water usage that's connected with distillation of alcohol. What we're talking about here is a DNR study came out, said that there would be an increase in nitric oxide and volatile organic compound emissions from an E10 mandate. And what that means is 13 tons per day, which is twice as much as the NOx decrease that we got from the motor vehicle inspection and maintenance program that Milwaukee County and other adjacent counties that are in the ozone nonattainment have been mandated to do over the last several years. This would totally negate that. And to put it into even a clearer context, it's about as much as what's emitted from a 350-megawatt coal-fired power plant. Now, how in the world can we justify doing this?
Well, and of course, part of that is because everybody, whether you're an ethanol proponent or not, everybody agrees that you get lower miles per gallon when you use ethanol. So you're going to be burning more gasoline. You're going to be putting, you know, more emissions into the environment because you're getting fewer miles per gallon under the best-case scenario.
It's a catch-22 scenario. What you're actually doing is feeding into the hands of foreign oil, because you will be burning more as a result. You'll be adding to pollution. And who do you think will have to fix that problem once pollution has been determined to push some of the other counties into ozone non-attainment? That burden will fall upon industry. It will fall upon individual consumers, those that own cars. It will fall upon trucking fleets like Schneider out of Green Bay. It's going to fall on the power plants. It's just going to have a negative. They haven't proven to us that this thing has more positives than negatives.
Well, my understanding also is the one state that does have an ethanol mandate, which is Minnesota, they have had to have an enormous outlay of public funds to essentially build the ethanol plants to provide the need. So, I mean, you know, if you pass this legislation, I got to assume there's going to be, you know, a huge amount of taxpayer dollars that's going to be going into funding all these startups because we don't have ethanol capacity now.
Well, sure. There's actually a 51-cent subsidy that's given from the federal government to the petroleum folks to blend it, and then there's a 20-cent stipend that is given from the state to the operators of the ethanol plants, and that's not right. And you have to remember, too, that with Minnesota, this was done because they had a problem with carbon monoxide. Our problem here in southeastern Wisconsin is with nitric oxide and volatile organic compounds, which means we're going to exacerbate the problem by burning more ethanol and potentially force more of our counties into ozone non-attainment.
We're talking to State Senator Neil Kedzie from the Elkhorn area. Senator, this is, I mean, this seems to me, I guess, to be self-evident, but obviously there's a majority in the state assembly who voted in favor of this. I mean, what's going on? I mean, why are the proponents pushing this so much, which seems to be, you know, pretty clearly bad public policy?
I think that many people have thought that, you know, for what they felt were good reasons. I think that they felt that, first of all, they don't feel our pain as much down in southeastern Wisconsin in other parts of the state because they're not dealing with air quality issues. Secondly, they have huge constituencies of corn growers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that people have been lulled into this false sense of security that this is a cure-all, you know, for the economically depressed prices of bushels of corn. You know, the thing of it is, with the glut of corn that we already have, and with more being produced, what we'll actually do is wind up driving the corn prices down so far that it's really not going to be the savior as most people have thought it would be. And I think that a lot of folks think that they're doing the right thing by it, but if you've spent as much time as I have analyzing this bill over the last year and a half, there are just too many question marks that are raised to say that this, give it a stamp of approval, is good public policy.
Well, and just as a matter of public policy, even if we decide that, gee, this is good for the corn growers industry, is that really a situation where does the government have any business coming in and essentially guaranteeing a monopoly simply to prop up one industry at the expense of the consumers and the consumer choice?
Well, that's an excellent question, Jeff, because it's ironic that as early as today, we have heard that the chair of the Senate Ag Committee at the federal government level is pushing for an inclusion of sugar produced from sugar beets from Georgia to be the standard bearer for what should be used for producing ethanol. It's cheaper. It's easier to convert sugars into ethanol. Corn, you have to remove the starches. It's much more labor-intensive. It's more energy-intensive. And then we also have to be concerned about the fact that Brazil, which is heavily subsidized, is producing ultra-cheap sugarcane ethanol to the point where they're talking about starting to ship it to the U.S., which could totally undercut the American market.
Yeah, see, that's a very interesting point, because you're right. My understanding is Brazil, which uses ethanol, they do it with the sugar. And wouldn't it be interesting if we pass this protectionist stuff thinking that we're going to help the corn farmers, and all we really do is we say, okay, let's try to find the cheapest way we can produce ethanol, and it's easier to produce it with sugar than it is with corn, so the corn farmers, you know, get left out in the cold, which is, you know, theoretically a strong possibility.
Absolutely, and it's not just corn. It could be a switchgrass. It could be a variety. You can pretty much derive ethanol from a variety of vegetable substances. And the thing with it is, the market is going to go where the cheapest source is, and everything that was so good-intentioned could totally be undone in not that distant future. And if these prices eventually come crashing down, it's just going to have a devastating effect on the corn market. And if in the event that we wind up in a tight budget situation in the state, and the state would take away its subsidies, who do you think would pay for that gap that would be created? You and I as consumers, because we'd have no other choice except to buy potentially premium grade gasoline. That's not a choice. That's being forced into a monopoly.
I'm just shaking my head here behind the microphone because it's just such a stunningly bad idea. Senator, look into the crystal ball. This went through the committee by a 4-2 vote with one of the state senators recusing himself. Is this thing going to pass?
We do not have the support in our caucus. And, you know, the opposition has been growing daily, and I don't believe we have the overall support to have this measure pass in the Senate. I mean, it's had its day in the sun. We've had a good public debate, but just because it came through the committee doesn't mean that it's ready for being adopted statewide, and certainly should not be mandated statewide.
So it's my understanding that Republican leadership feels very strongly about this bill. So what you're suggesting is that there might be enough votes in at least in the Republican caucus to buck the leadership on this.
Well, yeah, I'm bucking the system here, you know, as assistant majority leader, and this is, you know, this is about talking about standing for principle, and what's right, and not just because we want to try to do a nice favor for somebody. We have to think about the long-term consequences, and we are vested with the responsibility for passing good public policy. Again, because of all the question marks, because of the fact that it's a mandate, because of the detrimental effects it could have on the environment, I don't understand this to be good public policy.
State Senator Neil Kedzie from the Elkhorn area. Down here we call that standing up for what's right, and I appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Sure. I appreciate it.
Take care. That's